Happy birthday to me. Happy hello. Welcome to another fantastic episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by this here birthday girl, Amelia Dalton. So yes, my birthday was actually yesterday, and no, don't ask me how old I am. But in honor of the roots of our publication, we're headed to the land of field programmable gate arrays this week. Did you know that EE Journal was founded way back in 2001 as a standalone publication called FPGA Journal? It's true. So this week, I've got FPGA innovation on my mind. And cake. Lots of cake. That's probably more about my birthday and less about programmable logic. Anyway, let's first chat with Ted Marina from Microsemi about machine learning with PolarFire FPGAs. Hey, Ted, thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia.
All right, Ted, so what are you showing at the RISC-V Pavilion?
So what we're showing here is actually a machine learning demo that we run on our PolarFire FPGA. The PolarFire FPGA is on the Unleashed kit. This is a kit that connects to Sci-5's quad RISC-V core. And so what we're doing in this machine learning demo is actually using the PolarFire FPGA to do all the inferencing, runs the convolutional neural network, all the heavy lifting, acceleration, if you will. And we're communicating over the chip link bus to the Sci-5 core, which is running Debian Linux, and it's also helping draw the images on the screen and so on.
So, Ted, was this board specifically made?
So, actually, we didn't specifically make it to do this type of custom acceleration. We worked with Sci-5 to create this board, really to drive and further develop the Linux RISC-V ecosystem. That was really the key. And if you look at the Unleashed kit that we have here, the expansion kit, it has a x16 PCIe x1 connector as well as SATA connection. So it's actually a full RISC-V PC.
So, Ted, does this enable Linux development?
Yeah, exactly, Amelia. So what we put together here were all the peripherals that you need to not only run a RISC-V Linux-based PC, but this is great for software development. You can do a number of different add-on peripherals. All kinds of ports can be done, software, middleware, and so on. That was really the key reason why we put it together.
Excellent. All right, and just one last thing. I must say, really love your shirt. Unfortunately, my audience can't see it, but you might be on my best dressed of DAC this year. I'm just saying.
Thank you so much for coming by. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ted.
Next up, let's talk about FPGA acceleration in the world of compute-intensive applications. Please welcome Sundar Parameswaran from Falcon Computing to Fish Fry. We're talking about some really cool applications for FPGA acceleration like machine learning and genomics.
Hi, Sundar. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks for the opportunity.
Okay, so first off, what is Falcon Computing all about?
Sure. So Falcon, our aim is to help software developers be able to access heterogeneous accelerators. So the modern data center is getting very heterogeneous. CPUs have been around forever, right? But Moore's law is slowing down. GPUs have been the focus for machine learning workloads for the last decade or so. We're also starting to see FPGAs and kind of specific ASICs enter into the data center. The challenge is software developers want to take advantage of all of this variety of hardware, but they have no clue how to program that, right? They're used to programming CPUs. They understand how to do that, and they would love to live in that paradigm. If you go talk to them about FPGAs, if you go talk to them about ASICs, their eyes glaze over. They have no clue what that means or what programming that means. That's where Falcon comes in, right? Our vision is to democratize access to these accelerators to software developers. And the way we do that is we reach them in their domain. We help existing C++ applications to get compiled and accelerated onto FPGAs and CPUs. That's where we are today.
Very cool. Okay, so let's talk about your Merlin compiler, automated compilation of FPGA accelerators.
That's a mouthful, right? So the simple way to think about it, if you're a C++ developer, you know what GCC is, right? You compile your code using GCC. Think of Merlin today as a GCC for a heterogeneous environment, specifically focused on FPGAs. So if you have existing C++ applications, or you're writing a brand new machine learning application, or you're writing a genomics application, or you're writing a financial application in C or C++, and you have this insight that you want to be able to accelerate it, or you want to take advantage of accelerators either on a public cloud like AWS or on your own private data center, how do you do that, right? You essentially come and use Merlin. You compile your applications similarly with Merlin, the way you would do with GCC. And magic happens, and essentially you have code that runs on CPUs and FPGAs. I can tell you what's behind the doors, but that's where magic is.
Excellent. I love it. Now, you guys are doing some really interesting stuff in life sciences too. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So it's an interesting journey. Our company is about 3.5 years old, and we kind of come from the computing roots. Our co-founder, Dr. Jason Kong, this is his fourth company. He started three other companies, sold them all off. So he's a serial entrepreneur. So this time around, his idea was to abstract this all the way off and reach the software developers, right? And a couple of interesting things came along, which is once we started on this journey, we got a lot of initial traction in the life sciences vertical. But many of our initial customers came in and said, hey, the personas that we're talking about are bioinformaticians. They are genome data analysts. They're not really even computer science people. So talking to them about code and software development is too much work. Can you give us a vertical stack? Can you give us a vertical solution? Was a big ask. And we answered that. So what we essentially did is we hired a bunch of bioinformaticians internally. We went and looked at the problem, and we specifically focused on the gene sequencing problem, right? And the secondary analysis of gene sequencing is very compute intensive, and it's a great workload for acceleration. So we kind of applied all our computing knowledge into that problem, and what we developed is we developed a vertical specific solution focused on gene sequencing. So we accelerate industry standard pipelines, and we actually have an end-to-end gene sequencing pipeline right now. It's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. I would say really cool. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks a lot. This was great.
And one more before we go. Please welcome Kent Orthner from Achronix. And we're talking about the power of programmability and the rising tide of embedded FPGAs.
My guest today is Kent Orthner from Achronix. Thank you so much for joining me, Kent.
Well, thank you for having me here this afternoon, Amelia.
Okay, so first off, for my audience may not know, what is Achronix all about?
So Achronix is an FPGA company. We've been doing FPGAs for around a decade. Recently, we've introduced a product line that includes embedded FPGAs. So the idea is that we can take our expertise in developing high-performance, dense FPGAs and make them available to you to put inside your ASICs so that you can have embedded acceleration with, particularly to your specifications.
Nice. Okay, so other than a new corporate headquarters, which I saw, very nice, what's new with you guys?
Well, the embedded FPGA space is just taking off. There are so many customers out there that are looking at what they can do to add various levels of programmability to their devices, and we see it really all over the place. The idea there is we're providing known good die that includes an FPGA core to connect to your ASIC via some sort of multi-chip module, so that we end up with many of the performance benefits of an embedded FPGA, but without the risk that goes along with it. You don't get quite as efficient as you would with something that's completely embedded, but it moves you along that spectrum, and you can still do a lot better than you're able to do with traditional FPGA solutions.
That's cool. Okay, so eFPGA IP is part of a lot of SoC and ASIC designs. What are some of the motivations or reasons behind this adoption?
So there's really only one reason to add an embedded FPGA to your design, and that's because you need the programmability. Now, we see that coming up in many, many different application spaces. It might be because you need to accelerate time to market. You need to get something out before you've completely locked down the design or completely locked down the algorithm. It may be along the lines of you want to release some sort of a platform device where you're selling it with different marketing names, different SKUs, if you will, selling it into potentially different markets where the different markets require different applications. So you're able to reduce your overall cost of development because you only have one tape out, but it's effectively multiple devices. Another common area is for something like, say, machine learning, Bitcoin mining, there's still a lot of churn and a lot of changes in the algorithm that people are introducing, right? So you might want to introduce, say, a cryptocurrency device or a blockchain device, knowing that 6 months after you tape out, the algorithms are going to be different. It's not going to be the same world out there very, very soon after the device is available. And having an embedded FPGA lets you not only get around that, but even capitalize on it. Then one last thing that we have some customers doing is they want to release to their customers a device that's programmable. So they can work with Achronix to OEM our software, if you will, so that they say to their end customers, you're buying a device that has some sort of specialized functionality, whatever the ASSP functionality is, but with an embedded FPGA that their customers can take advantage of.
Okay, that makes sense. So, Kent, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I was going to ask you one other question, but then I found out you are a pilot and you do in-air acrobatics. Please tell me more about that.
Oh, it's great fun when you're up in the air. You get to put the airplane upside down, feel your weight being taken up by the straps on your shoulders. It's just an amazing feeling. When you pull back on the stick and you see the horizon disappear below you, and a few seconds later it's reappearing up on the other side, it's just an amazing feeling.
And that is super cool. You're my first pilot who has done in-air acrobatics. Thank you so much, Kent. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Okay, thank you very much for your time this afternoon, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, folks. It is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series and... you can also subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can check out the Fish Fry archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, I love that stuff, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of August 10th, 2018, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.